Well, any moment now, we've got a very exciting guest speaker. Don't you love church? I love it when it's a bit messy. I don't think church in the beginning was all incredibly organized. And it's nice to have something a bit random thrown in, like a caretaker with a Tottenham Hotspur stomach. Anyway, he made it. If you see this guy creeping around the place, you'll know he's the caretaker. So he did very well to get here. It's really, really nice this morning to have some visitors. I was going to sit in the third row from the back, but I thought it was a sort of Miss England contest. It's Hazel and on all her daughters and granddaughters and whatever. And it's lovely to have you here today. And sorry to embarrass you. If these girls walk out in the middle of your talk, Gunnel, what you've got to realize is that they've got to go by about 12:30. So you haven't done anything wrong, all right? No. So you get in the good bits first. Now, we're very excited this morning to have Gunnel, who's going to be sharing with us. She won't tell me what the title of her talk is. And really, I'm introducing the woman who needs no introduction, our friend Gunnel. Come.
Thank you. I am very happy to be here today. Very, very happy. Come all the way from Doynton Street. And I have a serious message today. So, God is not always serious. He's a smiling God. The message is serious, but I hope that by 1 o'clock we'll be smiling, if not before. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, I just pray that we can come to you humbly today, without suitcases, without baggage, and just receive from you. Just ask you to open up our hearts, stir us, and then take us wherever you want to take us today. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read for you that in the end times, does anybody think we're around the end times? Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. That is in the book of Matthew 10:21. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. And I thought, is that right? And I thought, do I have to get a couple of bodyguards in when I serve Sunday dinner when my children are coming around? Is it that serious? And I began to look around just simply. I didn't do research into books and so on. I just looked around and I found out that there are 8 million serious assaults on parents by children in the US every year. There are headlines about murders of parents, killing of assassins to get rid of parents on a regular basis. There is something called Dignitas, where a while ago we saw 3 children cheering their mother on as she took the decision to go across the English Channel and be assisted to die. And you know, a large dose of barbiturates, and everybody agreed that this was a really good decision, and it made headlines. There's a bill trying to sort of go through Parliament at the moment, while people are putting it through, politicians, to try and assist people in dying if they are terminally ill. Now, these people don't seem to have much faith, do they? They don't believe in a God who heals or a God who is merciful and loving. So is there a mess in families? Yes, unfortunately, we have to conclude that there is a mess in families. Divorce rates are equal between Christians and others. And it's quite shocking that, actually. You may ask, well, who are calling themselves Christians? But still, it's rife, even in Christian families, this thing called divorce. The world healing methods are therapy, counseling, crystal healing, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, the primal scream, rebirthing. I remember lying on the floor doing that rebirthing. You're supposed to do 10 sessions of it. I did 9. And I've always wondered whether it mattered that I didn't do the last. I don't think so somehow. The methods are many to try and heal up the kind of wounds caused by the mess that we go through in families today. I just sort of thought of some titles that I know without even looking. I know there was a book in the 70s called Death of the Family. How to Survive Your Mother came later. Divorcing Your Parents recently. Mothers and Psychotherapy. It's not long ago that a friend of mine came to me in tears and said that her daughter had come to her and said, wonder if you could give me £50 a week, Mum, because I found a therapist and I need those sessions twice a week because it was you who messed me up after all. So what is raging against the family? Well, we've got something called our sinful nature, courtesy of Adam a long time ago. Does anybody have a sinful nature? It's hard to control that sinful nature, and it takes more than a bit of crystal healing to do it, that is for sure. There is enemy destruction. The enemy is literally laughing his head off when he can cause real chaos. Real chaos. And he's laughing at this time, at the chaos he's managing to sort of stir up within families. And we have a humanistic philosophy, much connected with the organization Dignitas. And a humanistic sort of philosophy that is saying that, you know, we can have sperm banks and artificial insemination. We don't really need the dads necessarily. Children don't necessarily need to be brought up by their parents. They can be made court of the state, which was in the Eastern Bloc, so very much on the agenda. And when you look closer, it looks also like the state, to such a great extent, is beginning to bring our children up from a very early age for hours and hours every day. So what has happened? Well, God's word seems to have gone out the window, even often, unfortunately, in Christian homes. That generation to generation, God's word, God's values, it's thinning out, and becoming almost insignificant. Many generations haven't heard the word of God. You go into a classroom and you ask, who is Jesus? And actually there are children of 10 who don't really know who Jesus is or haven't heard of Jesus necessarily. Schools offer quite advanced sex education and very little on responsibility, family life, child rearing, and so on. Today, however, I'm going to talk about children's responsibility towards parents. Paul started last week, and I'm sort of trying to continue and complement what he was talking about last week. The fifth commandment, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord is giving you. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Same thing, slightly different. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life. I have deliberately not put it up there today because I want you to drink it like a wine today and let it just mature inside there somehow. Let it sink in bit by bit. He has commanded us. That means it's an order, actually. It's not that you ought to. You should, if you're wise, obey and honor your parents. It's a command. And that we should live long. And that it will go well with us, the quantity and the quality. Now, I know for a fact that the opposite is true also. The opposite is true. And I'm going to reveal in a minute why I say that. That means that if we don't honor our mothers and fathers, we will not have a good life. And it may be shortened in our tracks. To honor, it's about attitude, isn't it? And to respect and to have concern, to take care of their needs. I heard a preacher in Sweden saying, you know, don't let your mother worry about her dental bills. Pay it for her. Let her have a new coat if she worn the same one for 10 years. Take care of her. Take care of him. I'll never forget when I was in a big outlet, you know, in America, with a wallet full of money. And then I was there with a friend, and she said, oh, my mother has her birthday coming up. I'm going to do some shopping for her. An hour and a half later, and I'm not even joking on that, an hour and a half later, this trolley came towards me with coats, clothes, dressing gowns, shoes. And I couldn't see who was behind it. It was my friend. And I said, how old is your mother? She said, she's 94. And she's in a residential home in Finland. And she hardly gets out of bed. But I'm going to give her this. And I'm going to send it in the post. And it's going to cost 4 times as much as what I'm paying for it. All this Calvin Klein and Ralph Lauren stuff to send to her 94-year-old mother. And it really sounds a bit sort of, well, you know, I hope it gets there in time. But it really woke me up. It really woke me up. So I went and got a few little things, you know, and I thought, oh, I must send something to my mother. I probably wouldn't have even thought of it very much if I hadn't seen that heap of clothes. To obey is an action, to listen and to respond. To listen and to respond. To see parents in a position of authority. Of course, if you're 60 years old, you know, you don't say, yes, mum, no, mum, yes, dad. You've sort of grown up a bit, but I'm going to tell you that if today and when I obey my mother, she absolutely loves it. She absolutely loves it. She tells me to get that twin set and those pearls and those sensible shoes with a low heel, and I go and buy that. It really pleases her. She is very, very happy to be in a position where I can obey her. What about this huge area, which is actually a message in itself? About, you know, the difficult parents, the ones that damaged, the ones that couldn't do it well, the ones that carry on not doing it very well, the ones that left the deep wounds that won't heal. Well, I don't know what the answer is unless we go to God. I don't know if all those therapists, even if we did it for years and years, could help us along. But with God, everything is possible. Everything is possible. Godly advice, his wisdom, forgiveness, being able to forgive as he has forgiven us, healing, healing, healing in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it is possible. We have a wonderful example in Joyce Meyer, don't we, who just went through so much abuse from her parents, both of them, all the other people around her, for years and years and years. And in the last few years of her father's life, she nursed him, the man who had done all that to her for all those years. And he also apparently gave his life to Jesus in his last sort of few months. So everything is possible. And we need to really know that these scriptures, the fifth commandment, that every word is timeless, timeless and up to date. In Colossians 3:20, we can read this. Be obedient to your parents, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. He sees it as righteous when we come to him and we are obedient to our parents. And in Proverbs 10, it says, this is hard actually, and I can think of so many people I know of my age that have the biggest dilemma and such a hard time trying to handle those children who are in their 30s, 40s, and it's been just endless grief and trouble. A disobedient child brings grief to his mother, unhappiness and destruction to his father, and disgrace to them both. So why should I be happy to be born? Do you know, it's not long ago, I'd been with God for many years, and I still, you know, thought, for some reason, I hadn't had a revelation about this. Why should I be happy to be born? Because it seems like a split second away, either I'm born or I'm not born. And it's just a matter of such a sort of slim little chance, isn't it, there, that I slip in and that that egg is sort of fertilized successfully and something becomes me. Well, the answer came from a 9-year-old boy. And he was the son, is the son, of our dear Dr. Prince Barr, who comes here, has been coming many times to preach in this church. When I went to teach in Ghana for a year, I looked this little boy straight in the face and said, why should I be so happy to be born? And he said, very simple, but it is powerful, because God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And it's not any old plan, isn't it? It is a plan to heal us. I never forget when he said to me, I'll take you towards wholeness. Because I was I'd been living a half life. Half of all the sin, the pleasures, the mess, and half of it was sort of quite the complete effect of that, a complete struggle. And I came to him and he said, I'm going to take you towards wholeness. He wants to train us and to love us and to take us past all the wounds, heal that and take us forward. We are the apple of his eye. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story here. I did not honor my parents, especially not my mother. And when I was lying in bed last night, I thought to myself, I always thought I didn't honor my mother, but my father was by her side all the time. And although I was more of a monster, frankly, to my mother. But of course, it affected my father. It must have affected their marriage, actually, when I think about it. Because I did not honor, I did not obey, started very, very early on not doing that. And really, I discovered that I messed up, and I blamed it on my mother. Somehow you need to be affirmed. And until we realize that God affirms us, God says, I love you, you're wonderful, come to me. We need to have affirmation from somewhere, and we look to a mother, our father, biological mum and dad, to have affirmation. Well, if you mess up big time, you just know that they can't affirm you. So then the blame starts. The blame begins. She hasn't done a good job. She's not doing a good job. She doesn't show her feelings. She doesn't understand me. She's this, she's that. She's cold. You blame. Throw all the blame for your mess up on that person's life. That's what happened in my case. For years, I ran around with a big wound that needed healing. I literally remember running around, searching for the answer, searching for healing, searching for something to calm me down, to stop that wound from bleeding. I could not get any peace. And do you know, later, I found a toxic twin. And together, this colleague and I continued. We continued. She had the same problem. She was in the same position. We were ridiculing our mothers, criticizing them, rubbishing them. And there was no end of it. We just went on and on. I remember we used to go for long walks all the way from here, right down to Mayfair, Chelsea. And you know, we may rubbish our mothers all the way down there. And perhaps a few other people thrown into the bargain. My friend was diagnosed with blood cancer, leukemia. She was diagnosed with leukemia, and within 3 days, she was in the Royal Free Hospital. And she was there for 9 months, receiving more and more and more chemotherapy. And in the meantime, I had given my life to Jesus. And I remember going up to that 14th floor, asking the Holy Spirit to be with me. Oh, let me witness to her. Let me touch her, massage her shrinking body with your hand, Lord. Oh, Lord, 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 save her, save her. And you know, I saw this barbaric treatment for 9 months, and then she died. And it told me in a way that some people do perish, no matter what we do, they do perish. And it was so sad to go to this humanistic funeral. It was as cold as ice. As cold as ice. And the only thing that sort of gave me some hope at that funeral was the fact that it was ice cold. And something was missing. And perhaps a lot of people knew that. A couple of years later, by this time I had gone to Ghana to teach, staying in the wonderful household of Dr. Principal. And it was hot, and God gave me a great blessing in the late afternoons by leading me up to the Greenland Hotel. It was a hotel built by the Americans as part of the sort of developing country effort. And there wasn't a single soul up there except me. And it was beautiful. It was like paradise. And the pool attendant used to take the big net and fish out sort of 5 inches of dead mosquitoes. And then I used to slip into this water with one beach ball behind my neck like this, one behind my knees, and I'd be just lying there, not sweating for a change, and just speaking to God, praising God, speaking to God. One day, there came a song over on the sound system. And it was my friend's absolute favorite song. My friend who had died of leukemia. And it was "From a Distance." From a distance, the world seems bright and fair. And I thought about my friend. And then God said to me, "You would have gone the same way if you had not repented and turned away from the old ways of ignoring the fifth commandment." And you know, it sort of didn't even shock me in some way, because I knew what he meant. I understood exactly what the Holy Spirit meant. You would have gone the same way. And it was such a tall order to take on board. Such a tall order. And I was thinking of where I would have been if I would have been taken out in the mid-90s. Oh, it was spine-chilling. I would not have been in a good place. I would have missed out on this wonderful walk with God, this healing that's ongoing, his wonderful plan, and above all, an eternity with him in the nick of time. We need to look again at the fifth commandment. It's never too late. Somebody might say, "Well, my parents are dead." Well, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. "Oh, I wasn't too bad." But were you too good? Did you honor? Obey? Did you take the fifth commandment literally? And do you know one thing that I just so desperately, desperately needed healing? I've had a lifelong dilemma with my nails, of biting my nails. I started probably when I was 3 years old, and it's really stubborn. And it's demeaning, it's embarrassing, you don't want to have this. You love the Lord. And why should you have this dilemma of doing this horrible thing? Like an addiction, you know, that it's not the worst addiction in the world. At least you're not going out getting drunk and running around, you know. But this is something that you desperately need healing for. If you can't put your hand out and feel, you know, good about it. And the first verse that the Lord gave me in connection with the healing I so desperately wanted was the fifth commandment. There was something that needed healing deep within. And I needed to take that fifth commandment like a medicine, print it onto my heart and take it morning, lunchtime, evening. And I believe that today there will be healing going on here. It says in James 5, verse 16, Therefore, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man and woman are powerful and effective. You are not an accident. You are not a by the way. You have been chosen and predestined according to God's purpose. And it cuts through all of the rest. It cuts through who, what our parents did, why they did it, and what the effect of us was, upon us was. So, chosen and predestined. And this is the main reason, one of the main reasons why we should honor our parents until the end of time and obey them till the end of time. And I'm going to stop there. I would like, well, I felt this morning that even if you think, oh, I've done this, I've been up there, and I've been, I go up so often. And I think every single person in this room should have some prayers for them today, should have some prayers. If you feel that you want to confess for one another, confess to somebody, a sister or a brother here, I believe that it will release something stubborn that still is worrying you, troubling you. I think it will put that healing in that place that hasn't been quite, you feel it hasn't been quite touched yet. So, I wonder if we could have some very quiet music. And maybe I'll now hand over to Nick.